All right, this is Cameron Crawford, and I would like to welcome you to the Inner Circle for this month. This month, I'm going to cover something which I've had a lot of emails about, and that is the photo memory. A lot of you have been asking me to record audios for this for a long time, so this is the month for you if that is what you're after. So first up, you've probably heard whispers of people being able to read through an entire book in less than a minute, and being able to remember hundreds of pages of information in seconds. But the truth is, there's not all that much evidence that actually suggests that the idea of a photographic memory actually exists. Instead, what people with a seemingly photographic memory use are advanced memory systems, and that's exactly what we're going to get into in this month's audio. So after this month, you'll be able to easily develop such a good memory that people will actually think you have a photographic memory just because of the ease in which you can remember any piece of information. I'm about to show you memory systems which are tried and tested, so you might want to try them out and see the results you get. Alright, so first off, grab a pen and paper right now if you haven't already, because we're about to do a little experiment which is going to introduce you to the foundations and the real secret behind the photographic memory formula. Okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to write down these 10 words in this order. Fish, cheese, smoke, rabbit, cucumber, shoe, necklace, spider, telephone, and ice. Okay, did you get all those? Just to be sure you got them all, here they are in the right order. Once again, they are fish, cheese, fire, rabbit, cucumber, shoe, necklace, spider, telephone, and ice. Now, what I want you to do is just give yourself about 30 seconds to try and learn as many of them as you can in the right order. And I do actually want you to try and do this, because I want you to realize just how quickly you can use these photographic memory systems to change your life and the people's lives around you. Okay, so go ahead and take 30 seconds and try and memorize the list in order. Okay, so welcome back. Now, what I want you to do is turn your piece of paper over, and I want you to try and recall all 10 of the words in the right order. So again, take 30 seconds and write down as many items as you can in order. All right, welcome back. So how did you do? Most people can remember between 4 and 7 of the words. And the reason for that is because when we try and remember a lot of information, then it just doesn't work because we try to overfill the short-term memory by pushing too much information into it. Most people can remember between 4 and 7 of the words. And the reason for that is because when we try and remember a lot of information, then it just doesn't work because we try to overfill the short-term memory by pushing too much information into it. So the reason most people can only remember around 4 to 7 from the list is because once we get to around 7 units of anything at any one time, then we start to forget little bits of information, and so we can't remember any new information that comes in our way. A good example of this is if you think of any person's phone number that you know off by heart, then most likely you'll find that the way you remember the number is by breaking it down into parts. The reason we break numbers down into parts is because it makes them easier to process. If you don't break phone numbers into parts, then most likely you do some kind of rhyme in your head, which is also another common way that people remember numbers. So back to the list. How did you do? If you remembered more than 7 in the right order, then that's above average. If you got less than 5, then you're going to love these techniques that I'm about to reveal to you. The memory system will let you remember insane amounts of information, and it's the easiest way I've found to do it. So what if I told you that I could show you how you can triple your memory in just a few minutes? That would be pretty good, right? Okay, so what I want you to do is just forget about the words for now, and I'm going to reveal to you the secret to remembering a list easily, quickly, and in the right order. To remember the list, you first of all need to think of a journey that you take pretty regularly that you're familiar with. It could be a journey around your house from room to room, a journey down to the mall, or a journey to a friend's house. It doesn't make a difference what the journey is, as long as it has at least 10 stages at this point. So for instance, a journey to the mall with 10 stages could be stage 1, leaving through the door of your house. Stage 2, walking through the gate at your driveway. Stage 3, walking past your neighbor's dog that's always barking. Stage 4, getting to the end of the street and crossing to the other side. Stage 5, walking past the 2 mailboxes. Stage 6, past the old wishing well. Stage 7, past the block of apartments. Stage 8, walking past the church. Stage 9, walking past the school. And finally, stage 10, walking past the bus stop. It just needs to have 10 stages. Now, the way to remember the list easily is to place each one of the 10 items from the list at any of the locations along the journey. But the big secret is you need to really make these images stand out in your mind, so you need to make them crazy and make them so extreme that you would never hope to see something like that in a million years. And you need to include all of your senses, so you need to see it, hear it, feel it, and smell it. So here's the locations from my journey with each item from the list. Front door is fish. Driveway will be cheese. Neighbor's dog will be smoke. The end of the street will be rabbit. The two post boxes will be cucumber. Wishing well will be shoe. Apartments will be necklace. Church will be spider. School will be telephone. And the bus stop will be ice. So, for example, at stage 1, leaving through your door, you will see a giant fish flapping around, stuck in the middle of the doorway, making the floor of your house soaking wet. You can hear the sound of the splashing water and feel the water as it touches your skin, and your clothes are soaking you, and you can smell the stench of the stinky old fish. Then finally, when you squeeze past the giant fish, you walk down your driveway, you can smell a really strong odor of old stinky cheese, and you can see at the end of your driveway, it's turned into cheese, and it's melting under the hot sun. You can hear it bubble as it melts. And as you go and you walk over to it, you begin to feel yourself sink into the cheese, until eventually you're swimming through a pool of melted cheese. Then after you've pulled yourself out of the melted cheese, you begin to walk past your neighbor's house. And you can see their house is on fire, and you can hardly breathe because of the smell of the toxic fumes from the smoke. And you can feel the heat on your face, and the neighbor's dog is there barking even louder than usual. And he's running around in circles trying to catch his tail, which is also on fire. Then you go to the end of the street, you can cross the road where you can see a giant rabbit is blocking the road. And all you can hear is the sound of the cars as they honk their horns trying to get past this giant rabbit. Then you go to the two post boxes and you can see that someone has pulled a prank on the postman and filled the post boxes with cucumbers. You can hear the postman yelling at everyone who walks past trying to work out who's filled his post boxes with cucumbers. Then, as you continue on your journey, you see the old wishing well. And for some reason, there are hundreds of people standing around it. And instead of throwing coins down the wishing well, what they're doing is they're all taking off their shoes and throwing them down the well. You can hear the people as they make their wishes. And you can hear the sound of the water at the bottom of the well as they throw their shoes in. And because so many people have taken their shoes off all at once, you can smell the cheesy feet of everyone surrounding the well. Next, you get to the block of apartments. And you see the whole apartment block is shining in the sun because it's covered in gold necklaces. In fact, it's so bright that you have to close your eyes because you're worried it might blind you. Then you get to the church, and you can see that the whole church has been covered in a giant spider's web, and that everyone who goes to the church is getting stuck in the web if they try to go through the door. You can hear everybody there as they're shouting for help as you walk by. Then you see the legs of a giant spider start to come over the top of the church. So you make a quick decision that you better get out of there. Next, you get to the school. And you see the school itself has been made to look like a telephone. And the kids are all climbing up to the top of the telephone and then sliding down and around the coil of the telephone cable. And then you can hear the sound of the kids as they play. And you can hear the sound of the telephone as it rings. Then, finally, you get to the bus stop, and you can see that the bus stop has frozen over with ice, and you try to read the bus timetable, but you can't see it as it's so frozen, so you pull out a lighter from your pocket, and you try and melt the ice, but you can't stand up as the sidewalk is frozen, and you keep slipping, so you hold onto the bus stop to support yourself, and then your hands get frozen, and you can feel how cold they are, and you're worried about getting frostbite. Alright, so that's all you need to do. Notice how bizarre these images are. The point is, the more bizarre they are, the more memorable they will be for you. And the reason for that is because when you visualize the stages on your journey, and then you visualize an image of something that's really bizarre and interesting, it creates this association between the two images. So when you visualize all these insanely bizarre and crazy pictures at different stages of your journey, then they will stick in your mind. And I bet some of the images that I've just described to you have already stuck in your mind just from me telling them to you a second ago. So all you need to do is picture the information, and it will stick in your mind because on some level, a part of your brain actually believes that it's happening. So you've created that memory inside your mind. So just be sure to make those images really visual and make them as bizarre as possible and as crazy as possible, and they will stick. But here's the secret. Always use the first thing that comes into your head. That way you're more likely to remember it. Okay, so right now, try and remember a journey of your own, you know, well enough to remember 10 stages. Then link each stage of your journey to one of the items from the list I've mentioned, or if you want to, you can create your own list. You'll be surprised just how well this works. But if you do run into trouble and you find that you can't remember one of the images or a few of the images, then all that means is you're not making your images memorable enough, and you need to make them even crazier, even more extreme, and even more bizarre. Okay, so that's how you can remember a simple list. And it shows you how you can use the mind and the imagination to remember a lot of information. Now, I know remembering a list of 10 items isn't the most amazing thing in the world, but this is only the beginning, believe me. By the end of this month's audio, you'll be able to easily memorize the order of a whole deck of cards within minutes if you want to. Alright, so now I'm going to show you how to memorize people's names, because I think this is going to be especially important to those of you who are listening to this and you want to climb up the career ladder. I mean, imagine going to a conference or a seminar and being able to go around the room and remember everyone's names. Because at a conference or a seminar, you'll probably find there's a few hundred people there. So if you can remember everyone's name, then people are definitely going to remember yours. And as well as that, they'll remember you as an interesting person who had an amazing memory, instead of that uninteresting person who sat in the corner, didn't talk to anybody, and had nothing interesting to say. Okay, so what you need to do to remember anyone's name is first look at the person's face before finding out what their name is. And the reason why we do this is because a lot of the time a person will remind you of someone else. And it might be someone who you know, like a friend or a relative, or it could be someone who's in the spotlight all the time, like an actor or a singer. Whoever it is that they remind you of, it doesn't make a difference. The main thing is that the likeness is there, even if it's just a small likeness, because all we need is a small reminder, and that's going to act as an anchor for us. So let's say you're standing there at a business seminar, and this person reminds you of Brad Pitt. My guess is you probably know who Brad Pitt is, so he's a pretty good person to use as an example. Okay, now we're already halfway there. Even though you don't even know the guy's name yet, you know that in some way, shape, or form, this guy reminds you of Brad Pitt. Okay, so next we need to imagine a location that is closely connected to Brad Pitt. So I would say when I think of Brad Pitt, I think of the movie Fight Club, and I think of a basement filled with men ready to fight. Now, I know this might seem like a long process, but believe me, it comes a lot easier with practice, and soon enough, you'll be able to do it in a couple of seconds. Okay, so now we've got the location for our Brad Pitt lookalike. We're ready to hear the guy's real name. So let's say he introduces himself as Michael Spears. So now you know his name. What you need to do is take his surname and ask yourself, what does his surname make you think of? So let's say Spears makes you think of Britney Spears. So now what you need to do is take that image of Britney Spears and then put her in our Brad Pitt location of the basement from Fight Club, full of angry men ready to fight. So now we have an image in our mind of Britney Spears in a basement surrounded by angry men, and all she wants to do is sing for them. Okay, now finally we need the guy's first name, and of course his first name was Michael. So the way we do this is to think of a friend, or someone you know at least, that goes by the name Michael, and then you need to introduce them into the scene we've put in your mind right now. So what I would do here is picture the scene of the basement full of angry men, all wanting to fight, and surrounding Britney Spears, and all she wants to do is sing. So the men are getting more and more angry, and it looks like some trouble is about to kick off. Then the doors to the basement open, and someone begins walking down the stairs. And it's my good buddy Mike, and he's here to rescue Britney Spears. So that's the image I would create in my mind to remember the name Michael Spears. So can you see how this technique comes together when remembering someone's name? It works because we're creating a chain of associations. So when I come to meet the guy later on in the day, I want to immediately think of the actor Brad Pitt. That makes me think of a basement full of angry men, and then I see in the middle of these angry men, Britney Spears, and all she wants to do is sing, and then I see the basement doors open, and it's my good friend Michael come to rescue Britney. So now I remember the guy's name, and I know it's Michael Spears. Now, I know that sometimes you might meet someone, and they don't remind you of a public figure. But normally, they always remind you of someone, even if it's a cartoon character. I mean, I've actually met two separate people on two different occasions It actually reminded me of two different characters from The Simpsons. And likewise, you might not have a friend with the same first name as the person you're meeting, but that's okay too. If that's the case, then you can just use a public figure or whatever it is that helps you. And I know that sometimes you might meet someone who reminds you of no one, but we'll get to that technique in just a minute. So don't be scared to bend the rules, okay? And just remember, when you first start out using this technique, it might not be very easy at first, and it will take you a while to come up with the associations, but the more you use it, like anything, the easier it becomes. So when you're just starting out, don't try and remember a room full of people, just one or two names, and as you get more confident with the technique, you can progress. Alright, so what if the person you've just met doesn't remind you of anybody you've ever met in your entire life, or any public figure, or any cartoon character, or anyone else? So what you want to do is decide what kind of person he or she is. Maybe when you first meet them, they strike you as a librarian type, or maybe the type of person who would be a kind of mad scientist or a computer hacker. Whatever the impression is that you get, you can use it. And with that said, this is the first impression that you get, not what their actual job is, so just the impression. Okay, so let's say we meet a woman in our imaginary seminar, and she reminds us of no one, but she does give the impression of a librarian, so this time the location will be a library. Then she tells us her name is Monica Lesikova. So then we take her surname, and we realize we don't know anyone called Lesikova, so instead we break the surname down, and when you think about it, it kind of sounds like Less Sick Over. Now, I want to apologize in advance, but I'm about to describe a scene where a person is throwing up, but really more humorous than disgusting. So here we go. So what we do is we imagine our librarian, and she's just had her lunch, but she's eaten some bad eggs, and now she's being sick everywhere all over the library. But now she's covered the floor with some buckets and covered the books with plastic because she is trying to get less sick over the books and the library. So that's how we remember the last name. Okay, so now for the first name. I don't actually know anyone called Monica personally, but I do know a Monica from the TV show Friends. So now I imagine Monica from the TV show Friends walking into the library only to see the sick everywhere, and as we all know, Monica likes to keep things tidy. So now she's grabbing a bucket and trying to catch the sick as it comes out of the librarian's mouth. Okay, so there's the images. Now when we meet Monica Lesikova later on, we'll instantly remember that she kind of looks like a librarian, and the whole scene will play out in our memory, and then we will remember her name. Easy as that. Alright, so I've given you two techniques to remember someone's name so far, and that covers a couple of bases, but what do you do when the person you've just met doesn't remind you of anyone or even any type of person? Well, whenever this happens, what you need to do is use whatever location you're in right there and then in that moment. So, for example, let's just say for a second that you're at a party and you get talking to a guy and he reminds you of no one you've ever met before. He doesn't remind you of any actor, any public figures, he doesn't remind you of any cartoon character, and he doesn't even remind you of a type of person like the librarian. So, if you're stuck in this situation, as I just said, we want to use whatever location you're in right there in the moment as the location to remember their name. So obviously, if you're at a party, then the location would be at the party. So the next step is to ask their name. So let's say their name is Raymond Pickle. Now let's say you already know someone called Raymond, who you went to school with, so you can use his image to remember the first name, and you're using the party itself as the location. So the first step is to imagine your old school friend Raymond in a memorable location at the party. So let's imagine him doing some kind of crazy rain dance while standing on a table right there in the center of the party. So now how do we remember Raymond's last name, which is Pickold? Well, unless you already know someone called Pickold, which for this example you're going to imagine that you don't, then the easiest thing to do is break the name down into parts phonetically. So when you break down Pickold, it becomes the word pick and the word colt. So you've already got the image of your friend from school called Raymond dancing on the table in the middle of the party. Now you decide to add the image of a cult of people all wearing long dark robes, all surrounding Raymond as he does his rain dance. But they're not just any kind of cult. Oh no. This cult is a pick cult. They love anything to do with picks, so they're holding pickaxes. They all have toothpicks in their mouths, and they're all holding guitar picks, which of course is another name for a guitar plectrum, which is the little plastic thing you use to pluck the strings, in case you don't already know. And you could even make the mental image even more memorable by making the cult of people play their pickaxes like guitars, using their guitar picks to play some heavy rock tunes. Because, as I said, the crazier you can make the image, the more likely you are to remember it. So now, later on, when you bump into this same person again who didn't remind you of anyone or anything, you instantly think to yourself, damn, what was his name? He doesn't look like anyone. Oh yeah, my old school friend Raymond, dancing on the table surrounded by a pick cult. So his name must be Raymond Pickle. Alright, so that was how to remember names. Now I want to talk to you about how you can memorize the shuffled order of a whole deck of cards. So when you take the time to learn this, you can use it as another awesome social proof technique to completely dominate any social situation. I mean, imagine next time you're at work, or in a bar, or at a party, and some guy brings out a pack of playing cards trying to show off his latest magic trick that he's been learning for the last couple of weeks. Then after everyone's seen him perform the trick and pretended to be amazed, you can say to the whole group, I bet you, if you shuffle the entire deck in any order you like, then hand it to me, I can memorize the entire sequence of cards in less than 3 minutes. Now what do you think is going to happen? Do you think people are going to believe you can do it? Probably not. But more importantly, what do you think the reaction will be when you do it? Well, I can tell you from experience, it works like crazy. People absolutely love it. And remember when we talked about DHVs, demonstrations of higher values and social proof tricks? Well, this is the ultimate social proof tactic. Just imagine how this demonstrates your value and how you'd be able to completely control any group of people by using this one technique. So with that said, let's get right into it. Now, we've already been through the journey method to remember a list of 10 items, and that's basically the same system we're going to be using right here, except this time, you're going to need a journey with 52 stages instead of just 10 like we did before. Now, I know this might sound challenging, but really, when you think about it, it's not actually that hard. You probably go on a journey that has at least 52 memorable stages every day. For instance, if you drive to work or to school or wherever it might be, you most likely have to travel for at least 20 minutes on that journey each day. Now, I know if you're in a car for 20 minutes, then there must be at least 52 memorable stages of that journey. If there's not, you have two options. The first option is to go and take that journey right now and try and find 52 stages that are memorable enough for you to use. The second option is for you to go and walk around your town or your city and then work out a route that you can use for this 52 stages technique. Alternatively, if you think you already know your town or your city well enough, then you can just imagine walking through your town right now in your mind. Just imagine those 52 stages and just note down each stage on a piece of paper as you pass it. Okay, so next I want to tell you how we're going to remember the playing cards. Now obviously, remembering your 52 stages of your journey is pretty easy, but when it comes to the cards, that's where it gets a little bit more difficult. The reason it gets a little bit harder is because playing cards are an inanimate object, so they're boring, they have no life. There's nothing you can really do that makes them memorable. So instead of focusing on that fact, what you need to do is just change each playing card into a person. And the easiest way to do that is to change each card into pairs of letters. So for example, the Ace of Spades will become the letters A-S. Then all you need to do is think of someone you know with the initials A-S. Or if you're like me and you don't know anyone with the initials A-S, you can just choose a celebrity or some kind of public figure. But if you still can't think of anyone, then don't worry, because I've got you covered, and I'm going to give you a few tricks that you can use in a minute to come up with someone. But for now, based on the principle I just told you, you need to change all the ace cards into A's, all the two cards become B's, and all the threes become C's, all of the fours become D's, all of the fives become E's, all of the sixes become F's, sevens, G's, all the eights become H's, all the nines become I's, and all the tens become J's. Next, to find the second letter for each card, you just have to look for the suit. So as the example I gave you before with the Ace of Spades, the initials were A for Ace, then S for Spades, which is of course A-S. And then that makes me think of Adam Sandler, the actor. So if you download the PDF and have a look at the table, you can get more of an idea about what I'm saying. And you can see how you can get the letters for the cards, Ace to 10. So if spades is S, then diamonds is D, hearts is H, and clubs is C. So as I've said, just download the PDF and you will see exactly what I'm talking about. So what you need to do is have a look at those letters and then work out who each card makes you think of based on the initials. Now, as I said before, I'm willing to bet a lot of you are just like me, and some of the initials just won't make you think of anyone. So when this happens, all you need to do is ask Google to help you out. So what you need to do is head over to Google, and as we've already talked about the Ace of Spades, and we've got Adam Sandler as our person to represent that card, let's move on and do the Two of Spades. So the Two of Spades gives us the letters BS. So we need to find someone to represent that card with the first initial of B. So the first step is to type into Google, list of names beginning with B, and then click on the first result, and we're taken to the list. You might find that there's a lot of names which you've never even heard of, but just go through the list, and you might find that you come across a name and a certain celebrity jumps into your head, or a friend you didn't think about for a while. But if no one comes into your mind, then you can just scroll down until you find a name that you consider to be a fairly popular name, or a name that you've at least heard of. So, for example, Barb, or I might even try Barbara. So head back to Google, then in the search bar, type in Barbara S. But don't press search. It should give you a little drop-down box that will show you the most searched for phrases with the search term Barbara S in it. Then you need to just look at all the search terms with Barbara S in it, and you can be sure most of them are famous faces. So as an example, one of the ones that's come up here is Barbara Streisand. Now, most people will probably know who she is already. So great, you can use her. But if you're not sure, you can just go to Google Images, find a picture of her, and see if you recognize her. If you don't, then no big deal. You just go back to your list of names, find another name beginning with B, and do the same process again until you find someone that you want to use to represent the card, the Two of Spades. Then once you've found someone for the Two of Spades, then you just need to go through the rest of the cards and find other people to represent those cards. Now, one thing I want to point out is that you're assigning different people to each card. Now, one thing I want to point out is, as you're assigning different people to each card, if you happen to come across a certain card, for example, the Eight of Spades, and you know that the letters are HS, and immediately when you see those two letters, they make you think of Harry Sanford, then that is the person you want to assign to that card. That way, you have a much easier job of remembering who represents each card. Another point I want to make is that the letters are only there for you to use at the beginning to help you. It will help you to learn that each card represents a person, and then after a while, and after a bit of practice, you won't need to even think about the letters. As soon as you see the Ace of Spades, you will immediately think of Adam Sandler, or whoever it is that you choose to represent that card. Or as soon as you see the Two of Spades, you'll think of Barbara Streisand, and it won't even take you a second, you will automatically think of that person. Now, one more thing I need to point out is that you need to assign an action or something memorable about them, like what they're wearing. So, for example, if Ace of Spades comes up and it makes me think of Adam Sandler, what I would do is I would place Adam Sandler on my imaginary journey screaming at a golf ball. Now, why is he screaming at a golf ball? Well, if you've seen the movie Happy Gilmore, you know there's the scene where he's actually talking to a golf ball and he's yelling at it, telling it to go in the hole. So the reason I choose that scene is because it's the first one that comes into my mind and is memorable. And if I create the image of Adam Sandler screaming at a giant golf ball somewhere along my mental journey, then it's going to be an image which is quite hard to forget, which is the whole idea. As with the remembering a list of 10 objects from earlier and remembering the people's names, the crazier you can make these images in your head, the more likely it is that you'll remember them. Okay, so now for court cards. Okay, so how do you remember court cards? These ones should actually be easier for you to remember, as they're people already. So when you're looking at court cards and you're trying to come up with someone to represent that card, then just think about the card and think about what it represents and see if someone comes into your head. So for me, here's what each suit represents. Clubs, I think of young socialites that you hear about all the time in magazines or on the E! Channel. So for example, for the Jack of Clubs, I immediately think of Jack Osborne, as first of all, his name is Jack, second, he's young, and to me, the court card of Jack represents a young person. And finally, another reason why I think of Jack Osborne is because I always hear he's out with his entourage in the clubs in LA. The next card is the Queen of Clubs, and for me, I immediately think of Paris Hilton. And again, she's another example of someone you always hear about as being a young socialite. She's always hanging out in the hottest bars and hottest clubs. And finally, the King of Clubs. And the first person who comes into my mind is P. Diddy, a.k.a. Puff Daddy. And the reason P. Diddy comes to mind is because he is someone who is well known as being a king of the rap scene and hip-hop world. And also I hear he throws huge parties in the most exclusive clubs, so he's the king of clubs. Now for diamonds, I think about people who've got a lot of money. So the Jack of Diamonds, I think of Mark Zuckerberg, the creator of Facebook. For the Queen of Diamonds, I think of Ivana Trump, who is of course Donald Trump's daughter. And for the King of Diamonds, I think of Bill Gates. For the Court Card Spades, I think of people who are known to have jet black hair. So as an example of the Jack of Spades, I picture Edward Scissorhands. For the Queen of Spades, I picture Angelina Jolie as the character of Lara Croft from Tomb Raider. And for the King of Spades, I picture the King, Elvis Presley. And lastly, for Hearts, I think of people who are considered to be sex symbols right now. So for the Jack of Hearts, I picture Zac Efron, as I know he's made a name for himself in recent years as a bit of a sex symbol. For the Queen of Hearts, I think of Megan Fox, as for the last 2 years she's been voted FHM's sexiest woman in the world. And for the King of Hearts, I picture Brad Pitt, as even though he's into his 50s, for at least the last decade he's been considered as the heartthrob of Hollywood. So there you have it, that's my court cards. Now again, if you look at the PDF, then you will see I've given you a chart with some examples that you can use. Now what you need to do is assign your own people to each of the 52 cards in a pack using the techniques we've talked about, and then you just need to make sure that you commit them to memory. Once you think you've memorized all the people and which cards they represent, then just deal yourself a pack of cards and see how many you get wrong. To start with, chances are you'll probably have a hard time remembering most of the cards, but with a bit of practice, you'll find yourself starting to see the card, and then immediately the person who represents that card will come into your mind. Now the next step, once you've got all the cards mastered, is to figure out the journey you want to use. Now of course, the one thing you need is a journey which has 52 stages. If it does, then good. If not, then you need to find a new journey, or you need to dig deeper into that journey and find some more stages that you may have missed. For me, when I came up with my first journey of 52 stages, I actually imagined walking around my city, which I know pretty well, and I was able to come up with 52 stages, which I was pretty confident I would be able to remember. Of course, one of the things you want to be sure of is that you do take the journey in a logical order. And when you're taking this journey in your head, you actually write down the stages of the journey. And once you're confident of this journey, actually write the stages down on a piece of paper so that you can memorize them and be sure that you've got 52 stages. Then, once you're sure you've got the 52 stages and you've memorized them, just imagine yourself walking along that journey and just make sure you check off each stage and make sure you're remembering each stage every single time. If you're having a hard time remembering any of the stages, then it could be that that particular stage is too close to the previous stage, or maybe it's just not memorable enough, so you might want to try finding something else. Something else you want to try and do is imagine the scene as being completely empty and dead silent. You don't want to imagine other people or cards or anything else that might make it harder for you to remember your playing cards when they're at this specific location. Now personally for me, when I imagine my journey, I picture myself walking through the stages as if I'm actually there. But I know for some people, they prefer to see the journey as a still image, as if you're looking at photographs. So if that's what you prefer, then of course you can do that. Alright, so let's imagine by now, we've taken the time to memorize all the playing cards and the people we've assigned to the cards. And now we've memorized our 52 stages of the journey. Now it's time to put what we've learned to the test. Okay, so the first thing I do is visualize my first stage of the journey, which is the hotel. Then I turn over the first card. Let's say it's the Ace of Spades. So when I see the Ace of Spades, I know that that card is Adam Sandler, because Ace of Spades is A-S. So now what I want to do is take the image of Adam Sandler and his action of screaming at a golf ball and combine it with the image of a hotel, and I want to make it memorable enough to be sure that I remember it. So what I do is I imagine a giant golf ball in the entrance of the hotel, and Adam Sandler is there and he's screaming at the ball and he's whacking it with his hockey stick and he's trying to get it through the door of the hotel, but it won't fit. And every time he hits it, it just rolls back. So he hits it again and I can hear the windows of the hotel smash every time this giant golf ball rolls into the windows on the door of the hotel. Now, I can imagine this whole scene playing out in just a couple of seconds, but when you're just starting out, it might take you 15 or 20 seconds to really burn that image into your mind. But that's okay. The more you practice, the faster it gets. Okay, now as I turn over the second guard, I've moved on to location 2 on my journey, which is the restaurant. So I turn over to the second card, and it's the Jack of Spades. So I instantly know that the Jack of Spades is Edward Scissorhands, and I know that his action is carving an ice sculpture. So I go to walk past him, and I can feel the ice-cold flakes as they touch my skin, and I can hear the sound of the scissor blades as they chop the ice. Then I move on to the next stage of the journey, which is the jewelry store, as I turn over the third card. The third card is the King of Hearts. So as we said earlier, we know that the King of Hearts is Brad Pitt. So what I would do is imagine the jewelry store, and outside the jewelry store, I see the film premiere for Brad Pitt's new movie. So I can see the red carpet and the velvet rope, and Brad is waving, but he's upset because no one has turned up to the premiere, so he thinks his movie won't make any money. So he begins stealing all the goods from the jewelry store. Now, I'm pretty sure I'll be able to remember that image. And that's the point of all this, to make those images as crazy as possible, so it's more likely you remember them. So that's how you remember playing cards. And we've given you a few examples, so I'm pretty sure you get the idea by now. But next up, I want to talk to you about how you can remember speeches. Alright, so next up, I want to teach you how to remember speeches. So this is going to be good for anyone who wants to remember large amounts of information, like an actor who needs to memorize a monologue for his next audition, or the best man at a wedding, he can memorize his best man speech, or maybe you even need to memorize a presentation for your next business meeting. Whatever it is, I'm sure you'll be able to remember a time when you wished there was an easier way to remember large chunks of information, and if so, this is it. Alright, so if any of you have ever tried to learn a speech or monologue, then you'll know that the easiest way to memorize the information is to break it up into chunks. And again, the reason for this is just because that's how the human brain works. Just like with telephone numbers, we break them down into chunks. So what I normally do is I take my speech, and I make sure I've got it on my computer. So I write it out if I haven't already, and then I break it into chunks, so I have about 4 lines of text per paragraph. Then with each paragraph, I look for key points, and then I create an image for those key points, and then all we need to do is place those images for the key points along the journey, so we can remember each section of the speech point by point. So when we use memory techniques to remember a speech like that, it first of all takes a lot of the pressure off of us, because at all times we can know exactly where we are in the speech, and we know exactly what's coming up next. All you need to do is walk along the journey in your mind, and as you get to each stage, start that part of the speech. Alright, so now I want to move on and talk to you about using your mind and your memory for time travel. Now when I say time travel, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I'm not actually talking about jumping in as a DeLorean and physically traveling back in time to 1988. Instead, what I'm talking about is using your mind to go back in time mentally and recall scenes from your childhood. And this works really well. For example, I've been able to recall scenes as far back as being 3 years old, and I was too scared to go to sleep because I was afraid of the dark, so I was sitting there at the bottom of the stairs holding my security blanket because my parents were in the front room watching TV, and I just felt safe knowing that they were there in the room beside me. And I tell you what, I can recall the scene now so vividly that it actually feels like I'm right back there. I can see it, I can feel it, and I can smell the smells of my old house. And the reason I can remember all of this is because of this technique. And you may be thinking it sounds like it's going to take a lot of work, but it doesn't. In fact, this memory recall is probably one of the most enjoyable and most relaxing parts of this whole system. So I definitely recommend you try it out. Okay, so here's how it works. What you need to do is return to a particular time and location from your past, and try to recall as much detail of that time and the location as possible. And the big secret is we all do this all the time anyway. I mean, how many times have you been doing something, and a certain smell or a certain sound reminds you of something from your childhood? Maybe you hear the sound of an ice cream truck go by, and you instantly remember being 10 years old and playing chase with the kids on your block. Well, the smell of strong chlorine from a swimming pool reminds you of being 6 years old and going on a family trip to a holiday park. These are both memories of mine, by the way, and we all do this all the time. And it's a good feeling to be able to go back and to be able to enjoy those memories and have them come flooding back to you. But with that said, I do understand that for some people, maybe they didn't have a happy childhood, and maybe they don't want to remember, and that's completely fine. But I know that some people maybe lost someone that was special to them, and for a long time, all they wanted to do was forget this person. But now as the years have passed, maybe they've come to terms with it, and they would really like to remember every detail about this person who died. and they want to remember the good times that they spent together. So this is a good way for you to get in touch with those memories. Okay, so let's get down to the nuts and bolts of this thing. The first thing I want you to do is start by returning to a location that brings back quite a few memories for you. So it doesn't have to be too far back at this point. Just think of a time when you had a lot of good memories. So maybe your old school, or a park you used to play in, or even the house you grew up in. And then what I want you to do is choose one specific thing about that memory that you can use as a starting point. So if this was the house you grew up in, then maybe it would be the dining room. Or maybe it would be the dining room table where you used to sit for every meal. Or it could be a fireplace that you remember the smell of roasting chestnuts around Christmas time. Whatever the starting point is, just make it personal for you. And it doesn't make a difference what it is. And now you have that starting point, just look around and notice the small things that you can see. Maybe you can see a fireplace right in front of you. And then you can notice the fire poker. And then beside that, you can see a pile of logs ready to be thrown onto the fire. Then maybe you realize you're sitting on the floor, and you can see that you're quite small, maybe 10 years old. So really look around, and then I want you to notice what are the noises you can hear. Maybe the sound of the burning log fire, or the sound of the television in the background, or the sound of your parents talking in the kitchen. Then notice what you can feel. So maybe you can feel the carpet beneath where you're sitting, or maybe you can feel the heat from the burning fire. Next, notice what smells you can sense. Maybe you can smell the roasting chestnuts and the smell of the log fire. And you can smell your dinner being cooked in the kitchen. So really use all of your senses. And the thing you begin to notice about this time travel system is association is what makes it work. So one thing sparks off another memory, then that thing sparks off another memory. Then after a while, you really begin to feel like you're there again. You can even start to notice how you felt at that time. Maybe you feel happy, or maybe you feel hungry because you're waiting for your food to be on the table. And the deeper you go into each memory, the more you'll be able to remember. Because that one memory will trigger a whole bunch of other memories. And the key to getting the most out of this is to do it every day. So set aside a time, maybe as you're going to sleep, really dig deep into a memory until you feel like there's absolutely nothing left to discover. And the thing is, you'll realize that every time you return to this particular memory, the picture will become clearer and clearer every time.